Take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you. Jesus vokate. Today, as is the beautiful tradition when the priests of Lincoln get together on retreat, we're praying a mass for our future priest brothers, our co-workers in the Lord's vineyard, a mass for priestly vocations. It's also a tremendous opportunity for us as the retreat draws toward its conclusion for us to remember our own vocations with gratitude toward the Lord and for the way that the Lord has called us. Today we see in the story of Bartimaeus the outline of every vocation story, an outline that's meant to happen in a priest's life, not just once, but many times over. We can think of the first time we got up because we recognized the Lord was calling, and the many times thereafter that we took courage because we grasped that the Lord was still calling us. And we left where we were and responded to that summons. This story of Bartimaeus not only is a lens by which we can understand the Lord's action in our life continuously, but how to become much more like the Lord in ministering to the many who are named Bartimaeus in our own age. Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. That's the first stage. Like Bartimaeus, many times we too have been unable to see. We're in situations that are like a valley of darkness. We've hit rock bottom and we've been in need. We're beggars. We recognize how impoverished we are of our own right. But that's not the end of the story. That's just the opening of it. Because we recognize we're empty, we're now open to what the Lord Himself is able to do to fill that lack. On hearing that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, so often when we're in need, all of a sudden what might seem like a coincidence but is never a coincidence, Jesus comes into our life right then, when we need Him. Christ is always passing by. He's passing by so that we don't feel that He's going to overwhelm us, so that we recognize that if we're really going to have the encounter with Him, we need to be willing to move following Him who's always dynamically passing by. He passes by in order to encounter us and lead us from where we are to where He wants us to go. Christ is passing by us throughout this retreat and gently saying to us, come follow me. when Christ met Bartimaeus' need, Bartimaeus began to cry out. And the Greek word here is the cry of a wounded animal, not just a gentle little appeal. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. And when people tried to get him to be quiet, he shouted out all the more, Son of David, have pity on me. Bartimaeus cried out, not for alms, but for mercy, the great help that he needed most. We spoke earlier in this retreat of how Pope Francis received his vocation in the very act of receiving the Lord's mercy. Many times we too have sensed the consoling presence of the Lord precisely in the experience of his having mercy on us. Those occasions in which we've seen that our sins are not more important than his salvation, that our miseries are nothing compared to his mercies. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, have pity on me. We cry out in every retreat, and we teach our people to cry out because that cry never falls on deaf ears. So when Bartimaeus was clamoring, we get to the fourth stage. Jesus stopped. Like any of the great rabbis leading the pilgrimage up to Jerusalem for the major feast, he would be teaching along the way, oftentimes walking backward in order to teach that classroom. But when he heard that cry, Jesus recognized that there was something more important than that verbal teaching. It was going to be the teaching of his great example, the teaching of his personal love. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So many times Jesus has stopped in his tracks for us. How grateful we are for every time. He stops in his tracks every morning at our holy hour. He stops in his tracks whenever we go into the confessional. In the entire church, all of the means of salvation exist at that moment just for us. He stops here, passes by, but he stops when we ask him to. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. As he does something for us greater than he did for the centurion, as he enters and brings salvation to our house, just like he did to Zacchaeus. Call him. And then someone comes, some instrument, could even be our guardian angels, saying, take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you. But we need that courage. But we also need to get up from where we are. Jesus never says, stay exactly where you are, don't change. He's always beckoning us to get up from where we are and let him lead us more and more into the light. Thanks be to God, with God's help, we did get up. We did take that courage from his encouragement. We responded to that call. Tells us that Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. We can look at two elements there. Threw aside his cloak, what would keep him warm at night. He was leaving his old life behind, in a sense, leaving his security, leaving his blanket. It also shows in his springing up how immediately and promptly he responded to that call of the Lord. That it wasn't something that he could say, Lord, let me bury my father first, or I've got new oxen, let me go inspect them, or I've just been married. That when the call to the Lord is perceived, when we are hungering for the Lord, when we know we need his mercy, when that mercy comes, it does bring about that prompt response. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks us this question always. What do you want? What are you seeking? We can ask ourselves in a retreat, it's always important, what do I really want? Do I just want the life and peace here on earth? Or do I really want what he wants? Do I want to be totally conformed to him so that I can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer even I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me personally and gave himself up for me personally. We've been made ultimately to want the Lord, but he's never going to force himself on us. So he engages our freedom. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says that at the beginning of every time of prayer. What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus replied, Master, I want to see. Domine, ut videam, Lord, that I may see. I want to live in the light. I want to see things as they really are. I want to live in the real, real world. Ultimately, I want to see you. That word, I want to see, in Greek, points to the fact that he, unlike the blind man we encounter in St. John's Gospel, was not born blind. The Greek is, I want to see again. He had been blinded. He had lost his sight. He knew what it was like to live in the light. He knew what he had lost. And he wanted to be restored. Lord, I want to see again. I want to see things as they really are again. I have fallen, but I basically want to get up and live in the light. And Jesus promised that if we asked for something good, he would never give us something evil. So Jesus didn't just give him back his sight, but he gave him a far greater gift, because the Lord's generosity always goes beyond what we would imagine to beg for. Go your way, Jesus replied. Your faith has saved you. Not just restored your sight, but brought you to salvation. He had been walking in some way by faith before he had received his sight, but he hadn't received that gift of salvation from the Savior. But even with that gift, Jesus was going to ennoble Bartimaeus' freedom, gave him the choice. You've been saved by faith. Go your way. Choose the direction you want to walk. Make the determination of what type of life you're going to live now that you have been saved. And we see how Bartimaeus responded to that liberation. Immediately, St. Mark tells us, he received his sight and followed him on the way. He followed Jesus. He wanted to remain in his light. Jesus told us in St. John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. And after Bartimaeus had lost the light for a time, he never wanted it to be turned off again. And so he stayed with Jesus, following him, not just anywhere, following him on that ascent to Jerusalem on which Jesus had fixed his face. He followed him to Calvary. He was with him on Palm Sunday. We don't know the rest of the story of Bartimaeus, but St. Luke tells us he followed the Lord, glorifying God, thanking the Lord for all that the Lord had done. Now he was able to praise him so much more for the restoration than what he had originally received in creation. And that's got the physiognomy of every vocation story. When we recognize our poverty and the Lord passes by, he stops, he asks, he grants, he restores us in freedom, and he allows us to choose that path. And we're here, brothers, because we've chosen over and over and over and over and over again by his grace that I'm not going to follow you, Lord, just because I followed you yesterday. I choose to follow you again today. I choose to walk in your light. I choose to follow you to Calvary. I choose to glorify you. That's the way I want to spend my life. Not just for your glory, not just for your greater glory, but for your greatest glory of all. Whatever you can do with me, I am yours. On this retreat focused on the missionary reform of the church and the priesthood, I don't want our reflection on the scene to end there, because this is the text that Pope Benedict used more than any other to describe the new evangelization of which we are the heralds. I mentioned a few days ago how Pope Francis used the Emmaus scene to describe how we're supposed to engage the world today, entering into their journey away from Jerusalem, entering into their darkness with the light of faith, and eventually warming their hearts so that they're able to see the Lord. Pope Benedict used this scene, and he did it most famously at the end of the Synod on the New Evangelization, October 28, 2012, when he gave a homily to conclude the Synod and charge us to go forth to all the nations with what had been discussed there. So we are nearing the end of this time with the Lord. It's important for us to ponder what Pope Benedict was saying, because it'll help us as the apostles that Christ himself very much needs today. Pope Benedict said then, "The miracle of the healing of the blind Bartimaeus comes at a significant point in the structure of St. Mark's Gospel. It's situated at the end of the section of the journey to Jerusalem, that is, Jesus' last pilgrimage to the Holy City for the Passover, in which he knows that his passion, death, and resurrection await him. In order to ascend to Jerusalem from the Jordan Valley, Jesus passes through Jericho. And the meeting with Bartimaeus occurs as he leaves the city. As he was leaving Jericho, the evangelist tells us, with his disciples and a great multitude. This is the multitude that soon afterward would acclaim Jesus the Messiah on his entry into Jerusalem. Sitting and begging by the side of the road was Bartimaeus, whose name means son of Timaeus, as the evangelist tells us." Let's just pause there for a second. Son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus literally means in Aramaic, son of Timaeus. But it says his name was Bartimaeus, and then it repeats in Greek, son of Timaeus. And there's a play on words going between Aramaic and Greek. In Aramaic, Tima means lowly. In Greek, Time basically means exalted, glorious, high. So what it's basically saying about Bartimaeus is we have a person here who, though he was high in stature, has now lost it. He's lost it. And it's not just referring to his vision. The whole of Mark's gospel is a journey of faith, gradually developing under Jesus' tutelage. The disciples are the first actors in this journey of discovery, but there are also other characters who play an important role, and Bartimaeus is one of them. His is the last miraculous healing that Jesus performs before his passion, and it's no accident that it should be that of a blind man, someone whose eyes have lost the light. We know from other texts, too, that the state of blindness has great significance. It represents man who needs God's light, the light of faith, if he is to know truly and to walk the path of life. It's essential to acknowledge one's blindness, one's need for light. Otherwise, one could remain blind forever. He gives a little bit of a reference to those Pharisees who thought that they saw, but were in fact the blindest bats of them all. Pope Benedict continues. Bartimaeus, then, at that strategic point of Mark's account, is presented as a model. He was not blind from birth. He had lost his sight. He represents man who has lost the light and knows it, but who hasn't lost hope. He knows how to seize the opportunity to encounter Jesus, and he entrusts himself to his healing. Indeed, when he hears that the Master is passing along the road, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," and he repeats it even louder. When Jesus calls him and asks what he wants, he replies, "Master, let me receive my sight." Bartimaeus represents man aware of his pain and crying out to the Lord, confident of being healed. His simple and sincere plea is exemplary. And indeed, like that of the publican in the temple, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," it has found its way into the tradition of Christian prayer, that aspiration, Domine ut videm, "Lord, may I see." In the encounter with Christ lived in faith, Bartimaeus regains the light he had lost, and with it, the fullness of his dignity. He gets back onto his feet and resumes the journey, which from that moment has a guide, Jesus, and a path, the same path Jesus is traveling. The evangelist tells us nothing more about Bartimaeus, but in him he shows us what discipleship is, following Jesus along the way in the light of faith. And Pope Benedict shifts gears to his spiritual father in faith, St. Augustine, telling us that St. Augustine, in one of his writings, makes a striking comment about the figure of Bartimaeus, which is important for us today. He reflects on the fact that in this case, Mark indicates not only the name of the person who was healed, but also the name of his father. Why? Because the father was somebody. He was saying a name that others would recognize because the father was well known. And he concludes that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, had fallen from some position of great prosperity and was now regarded as an object of the most notorious and most remarkable wretchedness, because in addition to being blind, he also had to sit begging. And this is also the reason then why Mark has chosen not to mention only the one whose restoration of sight acquired for the miracle a fame as widespread as was the notoriety which the man's misfortune itself had gained. Those are St. Augustine's words, that the Lord was restoring him to a fame at least as great as his notoriety had acquired, living in the lowest place on earth, but being called by the Lord to ascend to the heights of the earthly Jerusalem and all that symbolized. Pope Benedict concludes, this interpretation that Bartimaeus was a man who had fallen from a condition of great prosperity causes us to think. It invites us to reflect on the fact that our lives contain precious riches that we can lose. And I'm not speaking material riches here. From this perspective, Bartimaeus could represent those who live in regions that were evangelized long ago, where the light of faith has grown dim and people have drifted away from God, no longer considering Him relevant for their lives. These people have therefore lost a precious treasure. They have fallen from a lofty dignity, not necessarily financially or in terms of earthly power, but they have fallen from a lofty dignity in the Christian sense. Their lives have lost a secure and sound direction, and they have become, often unconsciously, beggars for the meaning of existence, blind to the reality all around. They are the many in need of a new evangelization, that is, a new encounter with Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, who came to open their eyes afresh and teach them the path. It's significant that the liturgy puts the Gospel of Bartimaeus before us today as we ponder the new evangelization. This biblical passage has something particular to say as we grapple with the urgent need to proclaim Christ anew in places where the light of faith has been weakened, in places where the fire of God is more like smoldering cinders, crying out to be stirred up so that they can become a living flame that gives light and heat to the whole house. Bartimaeus, on regaining his sight from Jesus, joined the crowd of disciples, which must certainly have included others like him who had been healed by the Master. New evangelizers are like that. People who have had the experience of being healed by God through Jesus Christ. And characteristic of them all is a joyful heart that cries out with the psalmist, "What marvels the Lord has worked for us, indeed we were glad." The new evangelization is when we who have been healed by Christ and restored to light go out and help others to come to the same eye doctor and to join us in leading people to unending light. That's all well and good. It's theologically exquisitely beautiful, as we're accustomed to hear from Pope Benedict. But it's not enough. At the end of every retreat, we're supposed to make concrete resolutions that the Holy Spirit can help us to keep as we leave. The Lord says, we're free. And how are we going to use that freedom? Pope Francis, who was always incredibly practical, tackled that issue this morning. We can ponder the three responses that we can make to this scene, to Christ passing by, to Christ calling us, and making us his echoes of calling others. Pope Francis distinguished three people in the scene. First, he said, there are those who are concerned only with their own relationship with Jesus, a closed, selfish relationship that doesn't hear the cries of others. This group of people, he said, even today, do not hear the cry of so many who need Jesus. They're indifferent. They don't hear. They think that life is their own little group. They're content. They're deaf to the clamor of so many people crying out for salvation, who need Jesus' help, who need his church. Selfish people who are living for themselves alone, unable to hear the voice of Jesus because they've grown gradually deaf to the voice of their neighbor. It's the first group of people. Second are those who hear this cry for help but want to silence it, like the disciples who sent away the children so that they wouldn't disturb the master. He was their master. They thought that if he were to share him with others, their relationship with him would be less. These people send away from Jesus those who are crying out, who need faith, who need salvation. These were the ones who tried to suppress Bartimaeus' cries. They seem religious, but Jesus chased them away because they were doing business in the house of God, for example. There are those who do not want to hear the cry for help, but prefer to take care of their own affairs, who use the people of God, who use even the church for their own business. In this group, there are Christians who don't bear witness. They're Christians in name, parlor room Christians, Christians at receptions, but whose interior life is not really Christian. It's, frankly, worldly. Someone who calls himself Christian and lives like a worldling drives away those who are crying out for help from Jesus, who wants to respond to that help through us. And there are some rigorists, those whom Jesus rebukes, who place such heavy weights on the backs of the people. Jesus devotes the whole 23rd chapter of St. Matthew to them. Hypocrites, he calls them, who exploit the people. Instead of responding to the cries of the people, clamoring for salvation, they send them away. Finally, he says, there's a third group of Christians, those who help people to draw near to Jesus. Pope Francis says, this group of Christians are consistent in what they believe and how they live, and they help people to draw near to the Lord. Because they draw near to people who are crying out, to people who are seeking salvation, to people who are seeking grace, to people seeking spiritual health for their souls. Pope Francis finished by saying it would be good for us to make an examination of conscience in order to understand whether really, not by intention, but by concrete action, whether really we are Christians who are driving people away from Jesus, or people who are drawing people to the Lord because we're hearing their cries, who are seeking help to be saved. As we draw near the end of this retreat, it's important that we grasp that the Lord has called us and strengthened us and given us the sight so that we can be people who see and are able to guide others clearly to Jesus. It's supposed to be people who hear, who are the ones who hear the cries. It's supposed to be people who welcome to be interrupted when somebody's crying out for the Lord, and are able to respond to those cries saying, take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you just like he called me. People who bring others to Jesus and invite them to use their freedom to join us in pilgrimage, following Jesus up to Jerusalem and through Golgotha to the place where eye has not seen, but where there will be endless light. Today we began Mass by echoing Bartimaeus' cry. Today, right here, in this chapel, in this retreat center, Jesus is passing by. The same Jesus who walked through Jericho walks through Lincoln. And he walks calling each of us and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" With gratitude for all the gifts He has given us over the course of our life, with gratitude for our vocations and the vocations the Harvest Master will grant in response to our prayer in unison today, we ask Him for the grace, Domine et Fidium, that I may see you, Jesus, in the Eucharist today, which I will hold in my own hands. Domine et Fidium, that I may see you, Lord, in the people you're sending me from this retreat to serve with your heart. Domine et Fidium, to see you in all those crying out for you on the outskirts and the lowest places on earth. And Domine et Fidium, to see you with them face to face forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Faciem tuum, Domine, requiram. Lord, I want to see your face. Help me to see.